As some of you know, I make an attempt on a somewhat regular basis, despite my bum knee and my weight and my general lack of skill and speed, to play hockey about once a week. I love it, even though I'm really bad at it. And this week, we had a game and we were losing badly, which is not that unusual. But something happened near the end of the game that got me much more upset than losing a game. One of my teammates got cross-checked in the back, blindsided. Now, he had knocked a guy down, fair enough. But as he was skating away, a guy came along. Do you know what a cross-check is? Holding a stick across like that, and yeah. Now, that's generally illegal. It's kind of allowed in certain circumstances. If the guy knows it's coming and you're in front of their net, for example, they often let it go. But when it comes from behind and it knocks you down, it's kind of dangerous. And it's certainly illegal. So I got kind of upset. I wasn't the only one. But most of all, I was upset about the danger of that and the way the referees responded to it. So when I got a chance to talk to the referees at the end of the period, I respectfully stood outside the little zone where you're supposed to stand to talk to them. And I asked them if I could ask a question. They said yes. I started out nice and cool. But as the discussion turned into an argument, I lost my cool. And I raised my voice, and of course, the argument went nowhere. I was upset with myself afterwards because I had done myself and my teammate a disservice by losing my cool and getting into an argument that went nowhere. I wish I could have been more like young Mary, who in the face of much bigger news, life-altering news, she not only kept her cool, but she was able to accept what was being asked of her with incredible grace. There are many, many paintings that have been made about the scene that we heard about this morning, heard and saw, dramatized for us today. And this next slide is one of my favorite paintings. It's not quite as old as some might be. The artist's name is Tanner. And you see Mary beside a somewhat modern bed. And the apparition, the angel, the messenger is, from our perspective anyway, simply a bright light. Courageous, humble consent. That was Mary's response to this invitation to bear the Son of God, the light of the world. We cannot imagine a more weighty responsibility, can we? To make a home for the Prince of Peace, God in flesh. And her response to this news? Okay. Let it be. Mary said yes. I'm sure, we can be sure, she was afraid, she was perplexed, surely bewildered. But she said, "Let it be." What would we have said in her position? What do we say when a message comes to us about what God wants us to do? Meister Eckhart, the 13th century mystic, asked, "What good is it that Mary gave birth to Jesus if we don't do the same?" God invites us to do the same, to make space in our lives, to bear Christ within us and around us. How do we respond to God's invitation to allow Christ to be born in our lives? If we let it happen, if we let it change our lives in ways we can't even imagine, our world, our lives will never be the same. Mary could not have imagined what was coming, just like every new mother, right? If we knew what it took to be a parent, we probably would never become parents. It's a lot. And surely quite a challenge for her too. Our faith is not simply about what God will do for us. A mature faith moves from what God gives me to what I do for God and God's world. The paradox is that when we accept the mission that is given to us, that's when we receive the greatest, the deepest fulfillment. Mary was given her mission in life and she accepted it. She had a lot more grace with that big news than I did, at least initially, with figuring out that I had to deal with a traffic jam this morning. We call this the holiday season, but it often turns out to be one of the more stressful times of the year for many of us. It's a time of contrasting emotions. We are eager yet frazzled, sentimental yet sometimes indifferent. One minute we glow at the thought of getting together with friends and family, and the next we might feel utterly lonely. We might miss someone important and special. Our hope is mingled with dread, our anticipation with despair. We sense the deeper meaning of the season, but sometimes we grasp at those deeper meanings in vain. And in the end, all the bustle can sometimes leave us frustrated and drained. And even if you don't experience that tension, even if you really love Christmas completely, it's easy to miss the point altogether. If we're content with candles and carols and good food, if we bask in the warmth of familiar traditions, in reciprocated acts of kindness, and in feelings of general goodwill, we can still miss the point. For some of us, this is a season to be endured rather than celebrated. For some, it's the excess and the troubled baggage, the painful memories or failed expectations. Just the weight of once again having to come up with a big meal to feed everybody. Sound familiar? This dark edge to the so-called holiday season doesn't contradict the original event that we celebrate. Christmas is about God's coming into our world, and that was not, in fact, as we are already hearing, a very peaceful event, necessarily. Don't forget the harsh realities of Christ's first coming. The cold night, the desperate search for shelter, the dank stable. Don't forget that the young girl who sat alone in the face of this astonishing announcement had to deal with potential shame and rejection. God's coming into the world is not only a matter of glad tiding, but first of all, it's frightening news for everyone who has a conscience. The theme of peace today invites us to consider Mary's equanimity. Her peace in the face of turmoil, of surprise, of unwelcome expectations, of uninvited disruption. How are you at dealing with unexpected, unwelcome surprises? How are you when traffic goes wrong? We love to complain about traffic, don't we? How are you when the people in your life don't live up to your expectations? How do you react when, like me at that hockey game, I let myself down, I let others, but first of all, my own expectations down? How do we find acceptance with the deep disappointments in our lives? The dreams that we had, the hopes that don't work out. How do we find acceptance? I want to tell you about another woman along with Mary. I grew up in my church youth group and at school, actually. We went to the same high school. A dear friend that I'm still very much in touch with named Lillian. And Lillian had a daughter named Christiana just about a year after we had our first child. Our son Luke was born. Christiana was a bright girl with a gentle, sunny disposition. And I think she was only 7 or 8 when she was diagnosed with neuroblastoma. The medical folk in the room will know that that's a pretty devastating cancer diagnosis, especially in children. They went through years of chemotherapy and other treatments. They were in and out of hospital. It was remarkable. There were moments of joy and hope, of remission, and then later recurrence. Christiana died in 2009 at the age of 13. And through all the years of diagnosis and treatment and remission and recurrence and more treatment, Lillian and her extended family, who I know, they found the strength to find deep joy in their lives. Lillian enjoyed both of her kids, and they lived through those hard cycles of ups and downs, uncertainty and disappointment and grief with incredible grace. Lillian is an amazing example to me of someone who has taken the most devastating thing I can imagine and still lived fully, who has found acceptance, not easy acceptance, but acceptance, and has continued to find deep meaning in her life and great joy. She's still very active now, many years later, with raising awareness about childhood cancers, with the support community that meant a lot to her and Christiana and their family. She's a wonder. It is possible. We all know. It is possible to live on after deep grief. It is possible to pick up the pieces of disappointment and failure and hurt and trauma. And we can find peace. But it doesn't always happen, and it's sure not easy ever. But so often it's made possible by those who surround us, the community that holds us, friends, family, unexpected new friends and neighbors who come through when we never imagined. The angels are all among us. I'll leave you with one more story. Comes from the internet, but it was so good I wanted to share it with you this morning. This is a woman writing about her experience in an airport. Her name is Naomi Shehab Nye, Palestinian woman, who is traveling in the States. After learning that my flight was detained for 4 hours, I heard the announcement, "If anyone in the vicinity of gate 4A understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately." Well, gate 4A was my own gate. I went there. An older woman in full traditional Palestinian dress, just like my grandma wore. Let's look at the next slide. Just like that. This woman was crumpled on the floor, wailing loudly. "Help," said the flight service person. "Talk to her. What is her problem?" "We don't know. We told her the flight was going to be 4 hours late. And then she did this." I put my arm around her and spoke to her gently. The minute she heard any words that she understood, even in my poor Arabic, she stopped crying. She thought our flight had been canceled entirely. She needed to be in El Paso for some major medical treatment the following day. And I assured her, no, we're fine. You'll get there just a bit later. Who's picking you up? Let's call him and tell him. We called her son, and I spoke with him in English. I told him I would stay with his mother till we got on the plane, and then we could actually sit together on the plane. And she talked to her son. Then we called her other sons, too, for the fun of it. Then we called my dad, and he and she spoke for a while in Arabic. And found out, of course, they have 10 shared friends. And then I just thought, for the heck of it, let's call some Palestinian poets I know and let them chat with her. This all took about 2 hours. She was laughing by then, telling us about her life, answering questions. Out of her bag, she pulled out a sack of homemade mamul cookies, little powdered sugar, crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts, and was offering them to the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined the offer. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the traveler from California, the lovely woman from Laredo. We were all covered with the same powdered sugar and smiling. There are no better cookies. And then the airline broke out some free beverages, non-alcoholic, and two little girls who were there for our flight, one African-American and one Mexican-American, they ran around serving us all apple juice and lemonade. And they were covered in powdered sugar too. And I noticed my new best friend, we were holding hands by then, had a potted plant poking out of her bag. Some medicinal thing with green furry leaves. Such an old country traveling tradition. Always carry a plant. Always stay rooted to somewhere. And I looked around that gate of late and weary ones and thought, this is the world I want to live in. The shared world. Not a single person in this gate, once the crying and the confusion stopped, has seemed apprehensive about any other person here. They took the cookies. I wanted to hug all those women too. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. I couldn't help but think that if Naomi had not shown up, if instead security got called, or police, it could have gone very differently. What is possible when we respond with openness and kindness, when we connect with each other? Friends, this is what we are called to do in general, as messengers of peace, messengers of hope and love, of joy. What we are specifically called to do, what we are asked to accept, that changes from person to person. Mary wasn't always meek and mild and totally accepting. after Christmas in the new year, we will see Mary, who can be bossy and impatient with her adult son, Jesus. It's not merely about placidity and meekness. It's about courage to accept and the willingness to trust and connect and discover new graces, new joys, new adventure. And it is contagious, just like it was in that airport gate when it could have been a miserable 4 hours for all of them, or most of them. And it was anything but. It's contagious, and it's even airborne like the coronavirus, but in a much better way. And we have the ability, the amazing power, and the opportunity to be carriers of this grace. And we won't always manage it like me and those refs at the hockey game. But a willingness to trust, supported by loving community and belonging, can make a complete difference in our lives and in the lives of others. Thanks be to God. Amen.